With Democrats on the ropes, Adam Kinzinger and 12 other House Republicans helped Nancy Pelosi pass the infrastructure bill. Joe Biden's approval ratings continue to take another beating. Plus, despite a court order, the Biden team plans to continue its push for unconstitutional vaccine mandates. All that and more. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour.
And God bless the United States of America.
Okay, friends, welcome to the show. Happy Monday. I hope you had a great weekend. If you're new to the show, thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to start with the politics of the House of Representatives and how GOP moderates like Adam Kinzinger gave the Democrats a lifeline when their ship is sinking fast. Kinzinger and 12 other House Republicans saved the Democrat-led infrastructure bill from defeat and handed the Biden administration a win when Biden and his team are losing on every single front. So let's summarize what happened last week and why it was such a bad move for the House GOP. First, there's the fact that no one has confidence in Joe Biden's leadership. Poll after poll after poll shows sinking job approval ratings and sentiments that Biden is not fit for office, can't handle a crisis, and is not a good leader. These feelings from the public about Joe Biden also carry over to the Democrats in general. They are scared to death about the upcoming midterm elections. Instead of unity, we see infighting between moderate Democrats and the AOC Ilhan Omar radical wing of the Democrat Party. The Democrat brand is not in good shape at all. Then, last week, we also had the election results in Virginia, New Jersey, and other areas around the country. The New Jersey governor's race was supposed to be an easy win for the Democrats. It turned out to be a nail-biter. Liberal Seattle elected a Republican official. Residents of Minneapolis rebuffed their left-wing extremist city council and voted to fund, not defund, their police. And of course, there was Virginia, a state Democrats count on to be reliably blue these days. It went for Republican Glenn Youngkin for governor, and other state races went for Republicans as well. Republicans also took control of the Virginia House of Delegates. It was a stunning week for Republicans, and it showed that the Democrats are in disarray and that Americans don't like the policies that they're selling. And that brings us to the debate over Biden's spending bills that came to a head on Friday. There were two bills being considered. There's the $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill that was passed by the Senate earlier this year, and there's the larger Build Back Better Green New Deal bill that both the House and the Senate need to finalize. Keep in mind that none of this would be happening if Senate Republicans would have held their ground when debating the infrastructure bill. Hardly any of the $1.2 trillion actually goes for infrastructure. Yes, a handful of senators voted to end the filibuster that would have killed the whole thing. They gave life to a bill that is not needed at all and jumped on board the spending spree championed by the Democrats. Shame on them. But now, look what happened. In the House, the radical left progressives were threatening to kill the bill unless they had assurances that the larger social bill would pass. Democrat senators like Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema said they wouldn't vote for the larger bill. And thus, we as Republicans sat in a very good position. Joe Biden can't lead. The voters rebuked Democrat policies, and congressional Democrats were in disarray. But then, enter GOP House members like Adam Kinzinger, who said, you know what? Let's kill all this GOP momentum and let's give the Democrats a win. That's exactly what they did by saving Nancy Pelosi and voting for the infrastructure bill. Here's the story. House Republicans opposing the Democrats' $1 trillion infrastructure package reacted swiftly late Friday after their colleagues across the aisle, aided by 13 members of the GOP, passed the legislation. The bipartisan bill's passage was viewed as a win for the Biden administration and ended weeks of deadlock between moderate and progressive Democrats. Some Republicans who voted no called the bill communist or socialist and decried their GOP colleagues who voted with the Democrats. Yes, it is viewed as a win for Biden, a win at a time when, in the eyes of the American public, that the Democrats are incapable of doing anything. And yet, these GOP House members handed Biden and the Democrats a win. Here's more. Republicans who voted for the Democrats' socialist spending bill are the very reason why Americans don't trust Congress. Representative Andy Biggs, Republican from Arizona and chairman of the conservative House Freedom Caucus, tweeted. Representative Lauren Boebert, Republican from Colorado, called the bill garbage and argued that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi couldn't get it passed without help from 13 Republicans. The vote was 228 to 206, with six Democrats, all progressives, voting against it. Rhinos just passed this wasteful $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill, Boebert wrote on Twitter. Time to name names and hold these fake Republicans accountable. And here's what's so frustrating. The Democrats control the House. They have the majority. If they had their act together, they could have passed this bill on their own. They didn't need GOP help. So the opportunity was absolutely perfect for the GOP to just sit back and let the American people see the Democrats in disarray. The GOP couldn't be accused of being obstructionist or using legislative tricks. The Democrats are in control. And yet they couldn't pass this bill on their own. It would have died, and we would have taken a message to the American people that if you want a bill that actually focuses on real infrastructure without massive wasteful spending that hurts everyday Americans by driving up prices on everything and making it harder to pay family bills, then give the GOP the opportunity to speak for you and your families in the next election. It would be another winning message all over the already positive momentum we had as we head into 2022. But instead, 13 GOP House members gave the Democrats a gift. And here they are. These are the 13 Republicans who handed over their voting cards to Nancy Pelosi to pass Joe Biden's communist takeover of America via so-called infrastructure. Katko, Bacon, Van Drew, Young, Upton, Kinzinger, Gonzalez from Ohio, Reed, Smith, Gabarino, Maliotakis, Fitzpatrick, and McKinley. Adam Kinzinger, who announced that he won't be running for his seat in the House again, fired back with this. Infrastructure equals communism is a new one. Eisenhower's interstate system should be torn up, or else the commies will be able to conveniently drive. Red Dawn in real life. How lame. By voting down this bill, the GOP could have turned this into such a positive. We could even have run on better, real infrastructure in the next cycle. Make no mistake, this was a minor lifeline for the Democrats. They're still in disarray, and the American people have flatly rejected far-left extremist policies. Now, the door is open for even more socialist spending in the next bill. We'll see what happens. All right, so next let's talk about Joe Biden and his falling approval ratings. But first, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search out my name, hit that subscribe button, make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. Okay, next let's talk about Joe Biden because his approval ratings continue to fall. And as I mentioned in the lead segment, he's pulling all the Democrats down with him. Here's the story. President Joe Biden's approval rating fell to a new low of 38% in a USA Today Suffolk University poll released on Sunday, with 59% disapproving of the job he is doing as chief executive. Among those surveyed, 46% say Biden has done a poorer job as president than they expected, including 16% of those who voted for him. Biden has particularly disappointed independents, with 44% saying he has done worse, not better, than they expected. That 38% approval rating matches some other recent polls, and all of them consistently show an American electorate that has completely lost confidence in both Joe Biden and the Democrats. If there is one glimmer of light, one ray of sunshine in this poll for Joe Biden, it's that Kamala Harris rates even worse. Here's more. Vice President Kamala Harris's approval rating is even worse at 28%, with 51% disapproving of the job she is doing. 21% are undecided. If the midterms were today, 46% said they would vote for their Republican congressional candidate, while only 38% said they would choose the Democrat one. Wow, an 8-point lead for the generic Republican candidate over the Democrat candidate. That's basically unheard of. And again, it shows that there is no reason to change that perception when the momentum is going our way. There were a number of other interesting findings in this poll as well. Trump would beat Biden 44% to 40%. 66% say the U.S. is on the wrong track, while only 20% say the country's headed in the right direction. The poll showed that a large portion of the public, 61%, support the infrastructure bill that was passed on Friday, which, if that is true, it's even more reason why we should have let the Democrats flounder. If the Democrats can't get this done when they have the majority and it's important to the American people, then vote Republican and we'll get it done the right way. See? Simple, easy, winning message. Okay, so next, let's talk about Biden's federal vaccine mandate that was recently put on hold by the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. The Biden team still feels confident that despite this hold, Biden's unconstitutional mandate will still be implemented. Here's the story. The White House is bracing for a prolonged legal battle against President Biden's vaccine mandate after the new rules for large employers suffered a temporary setback in federal court and scores of Republican-led states piled on with lawsuits. Nevertheless, White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain said Sunday that he is confident the mandate for COVID-19 vaccines or weekly testing will hold up in court and will take effect as planned in early January. If OSHA can tell people to wear a hard hat on the job, to be careful around chemicals, it could put in place these simple measures to keep our workers safe, Mr. Klain said on NBC's Meet the Press. Well, I don't know about you, but I would say there's quite a difference in putting a hat on your head and injecting a chemical into your body. Plus, we aren't talking about construction sites. We are talking about any large company. And Biden is issuing a decree, like a dictator, forcing businesses and employees into actions that should be left up to the company and the individual. Biden has no authority to do this whatsoever. Here's former governor of Arkansas, Mike Huckabee, speaking on the issue.
Why is it that because we have a very intense market that we're going to get through Christmas and then we're going to impose what I do believe is unconstitutional, in part because you have bureaucrats making decisions outside of the legislative process? If we're not going to use the legislature, then let's send Congress home. Let's just quit wasting so much money on having them to meet year-round in Washington. Let the bureaucrats run the whole country. They darn near do it anyway, but they shouldn't be doing it. That's why we elect people to the Senate and House. They ought to be making these decisions, not bureaucrats.
If Congress is going to pass a law, then pass a law. But Joe Biden has no authority to do this. And the way OSHA is being used to implement this mandate is beyond ridiculous. Here's more. The Fifth Circuit got this one right. These vaccine mandates are unconstitutional slop. The vaccines themselves are miracles of modern medicine and American ingenuity. But we're not going to beat this awful virus with extreme partisanship or unconstitutional executive orders, said Senator Ben Sasse, Nebraska Republican. The OSHA mandate is unconstitutional, and at the end of the day, will only increase vaccine hesitancy. The president should take a long look at this decision and reverse course before the courts embarrass him again. So, there will certainly be a number of legal challenges in the coming weeks and months, and I'm confident that when it's all said and done, this mandate will be ruled unconstitutional. All right, so next, a quick update on critical race theory, because the issue was used quite effectively in the Virginia governor's race and has left the left completely freaking out. One of their top go-to talking points is that critical race theory either doesn't exist, and if it does, it's certainly not being taught.
The virus was a very
low salience
to many of the voters,
which
there.
Was fascinating.
It was education, which is code for white parents don't like the idea of teaching about race.
Critical race theory, which isn't real, turned the suburbs 15 points to the Trump insurrection endorsed Republican.
Well, guess what? There's a great report out today in the Washington Times that quotes teachers and administrators who are coming forward and telling us what we already know, but that the left denies. Yes, critical race theory is being taught. Here's the story. Teachers have taken to social media to debunk a claim by Democrat and academic officials that critical race theory is not taught in K-12 schools. Daniel Buck, an Indiana teacher, tweeted a video of himself Friday saying it is patently false to claim that critical race theory does not suffuse the thinking and the pedagogy of modern educators. His tweet generated tens of thousands of retweets. Mr. Buck's posting followed a widely shared video by Tony Kinnett, an Indianapolis public school administrator, who said people who claim that critical race theory is not an integral part of the education establishment are lying. Well, imagine that. You have left-wing media and commentators saying one thing and actual teachers saying something else. The left can say that CRT is not being taught, but parents and teachers and the children know that something is going on, something that focuses on race and division, oppressors and the oppressed, lessons that have no business in our schools. Here's more. A lot of people are trying to pull the wool over your eyes, Mr. Kinnett told the Washington Times. It's very misleading because in a professional development for teachers, critical race theory is everywhere. Critical race theory and diversity, equity, and inclusion are two sides of the same coin. Mr. Buck told the Times that the misdirection is rooted in a kind of semantic shell game in which people pretend that because classes are different than those in law school, they aren't engaged with the similar themes and ideas. Finally, someone else is saying what I've been saying all along. It doesn't matter what you call it. The elements of CRT have purposely made their way into high school, middle school, and elementary school programs. Parents know it, and they are fighting back. America is at its best when it is united and working as one nation. Lessons that are meant to divide Americans based on race go against what it means to be an American. We used to teach that it doesn't matter where you come from. You can share in this great opportunity to be an American. Now, the left wants you to believe that it does matter where you come from. It does matter what skin color you have. In fact, it's the only thing that matters. And the left will push a racial identity over an American identity. And that's why we need to keep fighting. Friends, that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. And don't forget, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search out my name, hit that subscribe button, make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. Thank you so much for tuning in. Our next show is going to be Wednesday evening at the usual time, 6:30 p.m. Central. Until then, I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour.